ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Today we are reading from Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, entitled The Most Confidential Knowledge, verse number 3. There is no board here to repeat, so I'll just read it along. Ashraddha dana purusha dharmasyasya parantapa अप्राप्यमां निवर्तन्ते मृत्यु संसार वर्त्मनि। Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: Those who are not faithful in this devotional service cannot attain me, O conqueror of enemies. Therefore, they return to the path of birth and death in this material world. Purport. Purport is quite a long one, but we'll read it. By His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The faithless cannot accomplish this process of devotional service. That is the purport of this verse. Faith is created by association with devotees, unfortunate people, even after hearing all the evidence of Vedic literature from great personalities, still have no faith in God. They are hesitant and cannot stay fixed in the devotional service of the Lord. Thus, faith is a most important factor for progress in Krishna consciousness. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is said that faith is the complete conviction that simply by serving the Supreme Lord, Shri Krishna, one can achieve all perfection. That is called real faith. As stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam 4.31.14, यथा तरोर मूल निश्चिनेन तृप्यन्ति तत्स्कंद भुजोपशाखाः प्राणोपहाचार यतेन्द्रियाणां तथैव सर्वार्हणं अच्युते इज्य। By giving water to the root of a tree, one satisfies its branches, twigs, leaves, and by supplying food to the stomach, one satisfies all the senses of the body. Similarly, by engaging in the transcendental service of the Supreme Lord, one automatically satisfies all the demigods and all the living entities. Therefore, after reading Bhagavad Gita, one should promptly come to the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita. One should give up all other engagements and adopt the service of the Supreme Lord Krishna, the personality of Godhead. If one is convinced of this philosophy of life, that is faith. Now, the development of that faith is the process of Krishna consciousness. There are three divisions of Krishna conscious men. In the third class are those who have no faith. Even if they are officially engaged in devotional service, they cannot achieve the highest perfectional stage. Most probably, they will slip after some time. They may become engaged, but because they haven't complete conviction and faith, it is very difficult for them to continue in Krishna consciousness. We have practical experience in discharging our missionary activity that some people come and apply themselves to Krishna consciousness with some hidden motive. And as soon as they are economically a little well situated, they give up this process and take to their old ways again. It is only by faith that one can advance in Krishna consciousness. As far as the development of faith is concerned, one who is well versed in the literatures of devotional service and has attained the stage of firm faith is called a first class person in Krishna consciousness. And in the second class are those who are not very advanced in understanding the devotional scriptures, but who automatically have firm faith that Krishna bhakti or service to Krishna is the best course. And so, in good faith, they take it up. Thus, they are superior to the third class, who have neither perfect knowledge of the scriptures nor good faith, but by association and simplicity are trying to follow. The third class person in Krishna consciousness may fall down. But when one is in the second class, he does not fall down. And for the first class person in Krishna consciousness, there is no chance of falling down. One in the first class will surely make progress and achieve the result at the end. As far as the third class person in Krishna consciousness is concerned, although he has faith in the conviction that devotional service to Krishna is very good, he has not yet gained adequate knowledge of Krishna through the scriptures like Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. Sometimes these third class persons in Krishna consciousness have some tendency toward Karma Yoga and Jnana Yoga, and sometimes they are disturbed. But as soon as the infection of Karma Yoga or Jnana Yoga is vanquished, they become second class or first class persons in Krishna consciousness. Faith in Krishna is also divided into three stages and described in Srimad Bhagavatam. First class attachment, second class attachment and third class attachment are also explained in Srimad Bhagavatam in the 11th canto. Those who have no faith, even after hearing about Krishna and the excellence of devotional service, who think that it is simply eulogy, find the path very difficult, even if they are supposedly engaged in devotional service. For them, there is very little hope of gaining perfection. Thus, faith is very important in discharge of devotional service. Om Hare Krishna. This is a very wonderful and beautiful verse which gives the key to progress in Krishna consciousness. Let us once again repeat the translation. Those who are not faithful in this devotional service, please repeat. Those who are not faithful in this devotional service cannot attain me, O conqueror of enemies. Therefore, they return to the path of birth and death in this material world. If you observe the purport, the first line in the purport is, the faithless cannot accomplish this process of devotional service. That is the purport of this verse. And the last line of this purport is, thus faith is very important in the discharge of devotional service. So the message is loud and clear. The significance of faith has been very clearly brought out by Srila Prabhupada in his purport, and that is the essence of this particular verse. This chapter is entitled The Most Confidential Knowledge because it is concerned with the intimate loving relationship between the Lord and his devotee. This knowledge comes from proper hearing. Hearing topics of Krishna purifies one and it grants spiritual advancement. Knowledge of the soul with respect to Krishna is confidential knowledge. Chapter 2 explains knowledge of the soul. It is described as confidential knowledge. Chapter 7 and 8, they explain devotional service. Therefore, it is more confidential. And chapter 9, the present chapter, it talks about the Lord's reciprocation and therefore it is the most confidential. So we have these three stages: the jiva, The process that connects the jiva to the Supreme Lord, that is devotional service, and the Supreme Lord, Shri Krishna. So, confidential, knowledge about the soul is confidential. The process that connects the soul to the Supreme, which is actually devotional service or known as bhakti, is more confidential than just the knowledge of the soul. Because it tells you something more, what should the soul be doing. And the most confidential is, how does the Lord reciprocate with one who is engaged in devotional service? So that is what this chapter is dealing about. Knowing Krishna depends upon one's purity of consciousness. Therefore, the first qualification to know and relate to Krishna is non-enviousness. Anusuyave, that is the word used by Krishna in the very first verse. Non-envious. Faith is the tool to access the confidential knowledge. See, sometimes we see a carpenter is working and he will use a screwdriver, he will use a chisel, he will use a hammer. With the help of these things, he accomplishes his task. In the same way, a jiva, a living entity, the goal and purpose of human life is God realization, which is known as Bhagavat Sakshatkar. And simultaneously, when that is achieved, self-realization also takes place, which is known as Atma Sakshatkar. The two are simultaneous. They happen non-differently. So, just as a carpenter uses his tool, a living entity also needs tools. And these tools are already provided by the Lord. It is not that we have to externally acquire it. It is there. Only thing is, we have to use it. And the tool with which one can relate to God, that is known as faith. In the present verse, verse number 3, it very clearly says, without faith, there is no question of devotional service. Faith is created by association of devotees. Faith is actually there, but how is it developed? That is why the word created is used. By associating with devotees who have faith. You know, we have this process of osmosis when we study botany. There is a root in the tree and the root has concentrated sap, they call it. That is, nutrients which are dissolved in the water. And it is a high concentration solution which is held within the root of the plant. And outside that, there is some moisture in the water and it dissolves the minerals that are there in the soil. But that is of a low concentration. So the tendency is to go from low to high, low concentration to high concentration. And that is how the root absorbs the nutrients from the soil through the process of osmosis. The same process works in the way in which an individual can develop his faith. There is faith in devotees, and by associating with those devotees who have a high degree of faith, even the other person who needs to develop his faith, he develops the intensity of faith that is required to progress in devotional service. Hare Krishna. Shri Shri Radha Gopinath, Shri Gopal, Shri Shri Gaur Nitai Ki. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada has very nicely devised this entire process which has been given to us. First of all, during his own lifetime, he created 108 temples by going 14 times round the world in the last 12 years of his life, which is quite a feat and accomplishment for any person. And today we have more than 400 temples. The process is still going on, the building process. So these temples and the centers attached to these temples are places where devotees come together, they congregate and they engage in devotional conversation and devotional activities. So this is how this simple process works. These temple centers, weekly satsang programs, counseling meetings, festivals, sankirtan program, yatras are all opportunities to associate with advanced devotees. Bonding between devotees takes place in this process. Various services bring the devotees together. The best way to associate with devotees is actually to engage in service. And when you do service in the association of devotees, you actually develop closeness and real relationship with devotees. Associating with devotees is coming together to serve the instructions of the spiritual master for the pleasure of Krishna. Without faith, one cannot take up service, and without devotional service, there is no progress in Krishna consciousness. Definition of faith, I just came across in one nice article. Of course, it is not mentioned as definition, but if you understand the logic that has been given there, it is a beautiful definition of faith. It is written, faith is believing that there is an ocean if you see a stream of water. In the mountain, there are small streams of water. These streams of water begin to flow down, and they come together, they become into a larger stream, a rivulet ultimately, and then they come into form a huge river, and ultimately the river flows into the ocean. So faith is believing that there must be an ocean when you see a stream of water. How does it relate to our life? All water ultimately has to flow into the ocean. Krishna is that ocean. Stream are the various phenomena that we see in this world and the activities that we see around us, which ultimately originate from Krishna and culminate also into Krishna. If you examine anything, everything has its origin and its end in Krishna. And therefore, when you see the various activities in which we are engaged in our day-to-day life, that itself is enough to remind us and tell us that ultimately the purpose of all these things is to reach Krishna. This is a very simple way of connecting ourselves to Krishna through the process of performing our daily activities, which is exactly what the Varnashram Dharma is, the principle on which the Varnashram Dharma is built. Development of that faith is the process of Krishna consciousness. And what is the proof that one's faith is developing? This is very important to know. Sometimes one may think, oh, I am going to the temple, I have been going for so many years, I am associating with devotees, I have been chanting, I have been reciting a few shlokas, I am taking part in festivals. But have I really developed any faith in Krishna? Is there any improvement in me? What is the proof? How can one make out? Answer is, if you observe yourself from the time you started coming to the temple to the point of time at which you are at present, if you are able to observe some differences in the activities that you had been performing then and what you are now doing, if one is able to reduce other activities and increase one's engagement in devotional service, it is proof that one's faith is developing. This we see in the life of devotees. When we are new, first time when we have come to the temple, and our faith is absolutely fragile, very delicate, we have so many other priorities. On Sundays, when people are invited for the Sunday festival, the Sunday satsang program, what do they generally say? Oh, I have to take rest. This is the only day I get to relax. This is the only day I get to spend with my family. This is the only day I get to watch some movies, go out on an outing, to socialize, to attend to pending work. So many other priorities they have lined up in order. So social gatherings, family functions, cinemas, TV programs, weddings, etc., etc. So many are there. Even on our daily basis, when you tell people you have to chant 16 rounds every day, which takes about 2 hours, people say, oh, I have got so much of work to do, I don't have time to breathe, I am so busy. How can we chant 16 rounds? It's too difficult. We have our occupational duties, everybody has, even devotees have it. There is no time for chanting. And then they say, I cannot get up so early in the morning, I get up pretty late, I go to sleep late in the night. This is the common excuse, this is the common condition you see of people who have newly come into Krishna consciousness or just entering. But as you observe, as time goes by, what do you find out? As time goes by and one regularly begins to chant, a little bit, may not be 16 rounds, 2 rounds, 3 rounds, 4 rounds, whatever it may be, but regular, begins to hear Srimad Bhagavatam as far as possible, as much as possible, begins to read some books of Srila Prabhupada, and one starts attending festivals on and off. Then gradually one begins to come on Sundays, may not be every Sunday, intermittently. Then what happens? One sees over a period of time, from the beginning when one said that there is no time, then to gradually, intermittently, in between, and a little after that, one gradually settles down to chanting 16 rounds. And then you see one starts becoming more and more regular in his attendance to his temple duties and activities, begins to come quite regularly on all the Sundays, begins to attend the festivals and starts taking up responsibilities, starts becoming an active counselee, becomes an enthusiastic book distributor, a fund collector, a preacher, a cook, garland maker, etc. Further, one takes managerial responsibilities at a later and advanced stage, organizes mega events, etc. Devotees, according to their position in life, they join full-time as brahmacharis, vanaprasthis, to ultimately become either sannyasis or offering their lives nicely in Krishna conscious service. This gradual change from no time to full time is the evolution of one's faith. The yardstick of one's progress in Krishna consciousness is how much time one is devoting to devotional activities. On any period of time, if you consider, maybe on a monthly basis, maybe on a daily basis, if one analyzes and sees on a daily basis how many hours, on a monthly basis how many days in a month, on a regular basis you are able to go to the temple, associate with devotees, engage in devotional activities, and over a period of time, as this frequency goes on increasing, as the quantity goes on increasing, you can be sure that your faith has increased, that your faith has developed. So this is the simple process of actually measuring one's progress and one's faith, how the faith is progressing. In the beginning, Krishna conscious may be a Sunday activity. One may be going to the temple on Sundays, other days one is busy doing what one wants, or may not be connected with any Krishna conscious activities. Or it may be a part-time duty in the morning, every morning half an hour to 1 hour, chanting, a little bit of hearing, a little bit of something, and then off to one's work, and then no connection with all these things. But as faith evolves and grows, it pervades to all the spheres of one's activities of life, and changes one's very lifestyle. Everybody has seen this happening. It penetrates one's consciousness and reflects in one's attitudes and disposition. It encompasses one's total personality. We can see this and analyze this in our own lives. Those of us who have been coming to the temple over a period of time, no matter at what stage we are, maybe we must have been coming for the last 15, 20 years, just 5 years, or even just 5 months. But even then, there will be a noticeable difference in every devotee's life. It is not just transformation, but it is fundamental purification. Once, a BBC reporter asked Prabhupada. He was conducting an interview of Srila Prabhupada on BBC radio. And he asked him, so essentially your process is one of transformation. Prabhupada literally thundered back, no, it is not transformation, it is purification. He was very, very clear about it. That is the beauty of this Krishna conscious process. And that is how faith actually purifies a living entity. Without faith, one cannot sustain this process of Krishna consciousness. It's just not possible. Also, Prabhupada has discussed, there are, according to their level of faith, devotees are categorized into three classes. Three classes of Krishna conscious devotees. The third class, which is also Rupa Goswami describes as Kanishta Adhikari. Actually, it's not that they have no faith, but their faith is very, very delicate or fragile. But of course, Prabhupada therefore explains it as no faith. They come and engage in devotional service with a hidden agenda. Example, some people may be suffering from poverty. So they believe that by going to temple and praying to Krishna, I will get some money. So they come with that agenda. They come into the association of devotees. They start following the devotional practices. But the minute they get what they have been praying for, what happens? They give up the process and go back to their old ways. This is what Prabhupada has mentioned in the purport. What is this? This is actually lack of faith. That is what Prabhupada explains. That means you are coming for a particular purpose. As soon as your job is done, you leave and go. Means you are not willing to progress. So such people are classified as third class. Second class are those who are not very advanced in understanding scriptures, but they are firmly engaged in service with full faith. They may not know the scriptures thoroughly, but their faith in the process is very firm, because of which they do not give up their service. Under all conditions, they stick to their service. Such a person does not fall down. He will never slip. He will surely progress, become a first-class devotee, and ultimately attain the final goal. And a first-class devotee is one whose faith is very firm and whose knowledge is correct. He has proper knowledge of the scriptures and he has got full conviction. He will never fall down. And he will ultimately go back to Godhead at the end of his life. That means he will achieve the goal of Krishna consciousness. Such a person, very often Radha Gopinath Prabhu in his lectures, he has described such a person as, he is a person who is in the world but not of the world. That means the best example to give is a lotus flower. If you see the lotus flower, it is in a pond of actually dirty water. The pond in which the lotus flower grows is a muddy water actually. It's not clean water. But if you go and examine the flower itself, its root is stuck in muck and mud. But the flowers, the petals and the leaves especially are such that even if a drop of water falls on it, it forms into a bead and rolls off and falls into the water back. It does not wet the water. Even though the leaf is floating on the water, it does not get wet. Similarly, a first-class devotee is a person, even though he may be living in this world, he may be interacting with all kinds of people, you know, facing all kinds of situations, but yet he is unaffected by all the contamination of this world and he remains pure. That is the example given. Padma Patra Ivambhasa. Patra means leaf. Padma means lotus. Like a lotus leaf. That is the example given. In the Chaitanya Bhagavat, Madhya Lila, Part 2, Chapter 5, Verse Numbers 146 and 148, they very nicely explain the position of a third class devotee or a Kanishta Adhikari. Shraddha Kori Murti Puja Bhaktana Adhare Murkani Chapati Tera Dayana Hi Kore Ek Avatar Bhaje Na Bhajaye Ara Krishna Raghunata Kare Beda Vyavaharam Balaram Shiva Prati Priti Nahi Kore Bhakta Dhamma Shastre Kohe Yesa Bhajanare. It's a beautiful language and very nicely said. It explains that Shraddha Kori, person has some amount of faith. Murti Puja, will worship the deities. Bhakta Na Adare, but will not respect the devotees. This is the typical example of a third-class devotee. Murkha Nicha Pati Tera Daya Nahi Kare. Does not have compassion for the fallen and for the innocent and the ignorant. This is the drawback of a third-class devotee. Eka avatara bhaje na bhajaye ara Krishna Raghunatha kare bheda vyavahara. He finds distinction between Lord Ram and Lord Krishna. He doesn't know that they are non-different. He says one is superior to the other is inferior to the one. This kind of distinction is born out of ignorance and lack of knowledge, lack of faith. Balaram Shiva Prati Priti Nahi Kore. Balaram is the first preliminary expansion of the Supreme Lord Krishna. And Lord Shiva is the Param Vaishnava and the eternal servitor of Lord Vishnu. But then, what is the position of a third-class devotee? He has no respect for anybody other than who is the object of his worship. So he does not know the significance of Balaram. He does not know the significance of Lord Shiva. And what does Krishna say? Those who are not able to respect either Balaram or Shiva, Krishna says, you have no place at my lotus feet. I cannot accept you. By disregarding them, you cannot come to me. That's very clear. Bhakta Adam Shastre Kohe Yesa Bhajanare. Bhakta Adam. Bhakta Adam. Adam means the most fallen kind of devotee. According to the Shastras, these people are described as. Prabhupada once challenged his disciples. All of them were sitting in the classroom. There were sannyasis, there were brahmacharis, there were grahasthas, and there were even visitors. And Prabhupada suddenly became very grave. And he asked this question three times, loud voice. He was asking them, do you have faith that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? He repeated the same question again and again. Not one of them could raise their head, look Prabhupada in the eye and say, yes. Prabhupada was testing their faith. And Prabhupada was also building their faith. This is the beauty of an acharya. Though we may still say theoretically that yes, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What is the test that we really accept it so? When there is a crisis in our life, do we only turn to Krishna or we turn to so many other sources for succor? We can analyze it ourselves. If we feel this, that, so many other things are going to help me, then we'll say, Krishna last. First, so many other things. If these things don't work, then Krishna is always there. That is not faith. That is helplessness. Faith means complete dependence without any other deviation. That is why in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Ananyas chintayantoma ye jana pariyupasate tesham nityabhyuktanam yogakshemam vahamyaham. It's a very beautiful statement. He says, without any deviation, those who are completely surrendered to me, to such persons, I provide what they lack and protect what they have. Yogakshemam. He says, I personally do it. Since we are talking about what Krishna provides, there is a very nice story in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. This is the story of Srivas Thakur. Actually, Chaitanya Charitamrita is so beautiful the pastimes that the Lord exhibited just 550 years ago. So close to us in history and time, it is not steeped in the ancient Puranas and the Yugas, bygone ages, not at all like that. It is historical. The places are still there. When devotees go to Mayapur and Navadvip, they come and see and see all those places where these characters have lived, where they have performed their lilas and pastimes. And almost all the associates of the Lord, they descended along with the Lord. We had Shiva, we had Brahma, we had so many elevated souls, we had Narad Muni. So in the story of Srivas Thakur, who is an incarnation of Narad Muni, he has come as Narad Muni is incarnated as Srivas Thakur, he has come as a grahastha here. So here what happens is one day, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he approaches Srivas Thakur. Srivas Thakur is a family man. He has children, he has wife, he has brothers. Brothers have wives, they have children, they are living in a joint family. And he is asking Srivas Thakur, Srivas, you are a family man? He says, yes. What do you do for a living? He says, I don't do anything. He says, then how do you provide for your family? You must not be like this. You must work. You must earn a livelihood. You must do something. So, in reply, Srivas Thakur simply clapped his hands 3 times. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked him, what kind of a riddle are you posing me? I am asking you a simple, straightforward question. Srivas Thakur, you are a family man. You've got to do something for your livelihood. And who will provide for you? How will your family run? So, again he says, he's only clapping 3 times. He says, Srivas Thakur, either you speak, you don't stop talking to me in riddles. So Srivas Thakur smiles and he says, my Lord, you know everything, but still you are testing me. Okay, if you want me to say with my own mouth, okay, I will speak it out. He says, I will clap only 3 times if I want something. And if I don't get it, by the 3rd time I clap, I will take a huge stone, tie it around my neck and jump into the Ganges and give up my life. Immediately the Lord embraced him. You may wonder what is happening. It's a riddle for us also. The answer is very simple. Srivas Thakur had such implicit faith that the Lord will provide. If one completely dedicates one life to the service of the Lord. This is the principle. Actually, if anybody even today can live by this principle works even now. But the thing is, our faith is so eroded, is so diluted, is so damaged that we cannot try and imitate a great soul like Srivas Thakur artificially. We should not do it. But the point is, that is what Krishna explains in Ananyas Chintayantoma. He says, I personally provide. And that is why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to demonstrate this principle to people at large. That if you have implicit faith in the Lord and dedicate your life and time in His service, He takes complete care of you. Even for those of us who are working and supposedly thinking that we are earning a livelihood and we are taking care of our families, it is actually, the fact is, it is just like a small child who in his fantasy is imagining something and the parent is standing behind him. And just to please the child, the parent is doing everything to fulfill the fantasy of the child and the child derives a great pleasure out of it. The child wants to lift a weight. The father is holding behind the child, the father is holding the weight. And without the knowledge of the child, he is lifting the weight. And the child believes that he is lifting the weight by himself. This is the example that Prabhupada has given. Exactly the same thing is happening in our lives. When we lift the burden of our family life, our domestic life, our professional life, our occupational duties, we feel we have achieved something. But unseen and unknown to us, the Lord is working behind the scene. Even for those who are ignorant about Him. That is His mercy. So what to speak of those who have faith and those who actually learn to depend on the Lord. So this example of Srivas Thakur is very illustrative. And from one Thakur we go to another Thakur, that is Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur's story is exemplary and very much soul-stirring. Haridas Thakur was an acharya, Namacharya. And he used to chant 3 lakh names of the Lord every day. I believe roughly it comes to 190 rounds. 182 rounds. 192. 192 rounds per day. 16 rounds is a burden for us. So those who ask why 16 rounds, you must say, no, don't chant 16 rounds. Chant 192. Then automatically they will accept 16. So, he used to chant 192 rounds. That means 22 hours of a day he was chanting, and only 2 hours he had reserved for the other activities of his life. For us, we are asked to chant only for 2 hours, and we have got 22 hours for all the other activities. And even that is a burden for us. So that shows our lack of faith. Now this Haridas Thakur was once imprisoned, arrested, because he was a Mohammedan by birth. And he was chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And so the Qazi, the Mohammedan priest, got very, very angry. He was envious. He was envious because this Haridas Thakur was becoming popular both among the Mohammedans and the Hindus. So this Qazi became very envious that who is this person who doesn't even follow any one religion properly. He is born as a Mohammedan but still practicing the Hindu customs and traditions. And he is gaining the sympathy and the goodwill of people at large. He says, so I must put a stop to this. And we must reinstate our own position as leaders of religiosity. So he goes and complains to the Nawab. The Nawab has him promptly arrested. And the condition is put to Haridas that stop all this chanting. And if you have to preach the name of the Lord, then preach from your own religion. Haridas Thakur said, even if you cut me into 100 pieces, each piece of my body will chant Krishna's name. You cannot stop me from chanting. So, the Qazi and the Nawab, they started talking. You are born in a Muslim religion and you are chanting the names of Hindu God. Immediately Haridas corrected them. He said, don't distinguish between God. There is only one God. There is nothing like a Muslim God and a Hindu God. There is only one God. He immediately corrected them. And he again told them that if you still want to punish me, you are free to punish me. But I will not stop chanting the name of Krishna. He was ordered to be beaten in 22 marketplaces. And when that actually happened, generally within the 3rd marketplace, a person actually dies. So mercilessly they beat. But even when after beating in 22 marketplaces, nothing happened to Haridas Thakur. He was hardly feeling any pain. But why was it so? Because his faith in the holy name, his faith in the Supreme Lord was rock-like, unshakable. And what was his prayer? That is the sign of a great Vaishnava. Lord, please be merciful upon these poor souls so that they may not be punished for being offensive towards me. This is just like the prayer of Lord Jesus when he was being crucified. He said, please forgive them for they know not what they are doing. This is the hallmark of a great Vaishnava. Forgiveness, complete faith in the process of devotional service, complete faith in the holy name, complete faith in the supremacy of the Lord and His ability to protect. Despite extreme miseries, one must never stop chanting the holy name. And what was the result? Even the Mohammedans were transformed to worship Haridas. So, these stories are not just symbolic. Sometimes people dismiss these stories as symbolic. They are not. The fact is, if we try to apply this same principle in our life, we may not be like Haridas Thakur. We need not be. Let us be practical. Let us be realistic. But if we only imbibe this principle of faith in our life, we will see how it works wonders in our own tiny world, in our own daily sphere of activities, in our own little responsibilities that we have to discharge. And we will see the hidden hand of the Lord, how it protects us and nurtures us. And actually, the Lord, more than protecting the physical body, He is more interested in protecting our fragile faith. Because ultimately, it is that which is going to take us to our final destination, that is the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. There are so many more points, but time has its limitation, and this is an endless topic, because faith is such a thing about which one can limitlessly talk, because it is limitless in nature. Thank you very much. Are there any questions? Yes, Prabhu. Yes, Prabhu. Could you come a little closer? Could you come a little closer? Yeah. Okay, your question is, what is the motivation of the second class, third class devotees? Third class, you said, has a hidden motive. So what is the motive of the second class devotee? Yeah. See, in terms of motive, the first class has complete knowledge. So he is fully taken care of. The second class, his knowledge is still not ripe. Yeah, so the point is, since his knowledge is still not ripe, but his faith is firm. That is the distinguishing feature of a second class devotee. With the help of that faith, when he engages in devotional service, then what happens? Then that devotional service itself enlightens him. With that knowledge comes when he engages in devotional service. For this, there is a very beautiful example. Once a scholar came to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and he told him, I would like to discuss. He actually came to the mutt of Bhaktisiddhanta and he told the disciples that I would like to discuss with your guru on topics of Krishna. So, Guru Maharaj just told him, I have no time. You can discuss with one of my pujaris. So, when he went to the pujari, he said, now it is time for aarti, so I have to clean these vessels. So, you help me in cleaning all this. So he helped him. And in the course of doing that, because he was actually engaged in devotional service under the instructions of spiritual authority, automatically the purification took place in heart. And when the whole thing was over and they sat down to discuss, so he asked him, so what is your question? He said, I got the answer. You see? So this is explained in Bhagavatam again. That's a beautiful verse which explains this. It says that Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita Janayasya Ashu Vairagyam Jnanam Chatat Ahaitukam. The meaning of this is, what is the use of performing devotional service to Vasudev Krishna? Vasudeve Bhagavati, Bhagavan Krishna. What is the use of performing devotional service? Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita. Prayojita means the purpose, use. And the answer is given, Janayatya Ashu Vairagyam Jnanam Chatat Ahaitukam. Says the minute you start performing devotional service, Janayatya. Janayatya means takes birth. Ashu means immediately, instantly. Vairagya means detachment from material attachments, material things. And jnana. Jnana means knowledge. Ahaitukam. Ahaitukam means effortlessly. So knowledge develops spontaneously, immediately, just by engaging in devotional service. And on the basis of that knowledge, one becomes purified. On the basis of the devotional service, one gets purified. And one becomes enlightened, one gets purified. And ultimately, he is coming to a platform of stability. So it is a grade. It is not that permanently one always remains second class. One is second class, he will advance to first class. One is third class, he will advance to second class. But only thing is, in the third class there is a danger. If he doesn't take sufficient association, he may fall down. That is the thing. So the danger of falling down is in the third class. But once you come to the second class, the danger of slipping and falling is lost. Then it is only a question of how much effort he puts. So fast, he will advance to the first class and then attain the final goal. That is how it works. Hare Krishna. Devotional service? Exactly. By engaging in devotional service, one gets purified and one progresses. That is it. Motives also change, everything. Hare Krishna. Thank you. Hare Krishna.